from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy Friday to you. Open Line Friday. Here on the program, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Woo, mercy me. It is good to be back with you. And it was a quick trip to New York City. And I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But all of these storms, the plane did not land until the wee hours of the morning. And man, these tornadoes and the lightning, the flooding has just been insane. And anyway, hope everybody's doing okay out there. I think 40, 50 million of you under some sort of a watch or warning, and those are very unpleasant. But we were circling Memphis International for a good 45 minutes waiting for the storms to clear in the wee morning hours. So write down our telephone number. You're going to need this. It is Open Line Friday, and to all of our new listeners, that means you get to call in and you get to have a conversation. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about today. You have a question, you can ask me a question, but just give me a call. Write this number down, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. And certainly appreciate Andy Hoosier from our affiliate in Wichita, Kansas, filling in over the last couple of days. So I had to go to New York, and many of you know that I host a TV show on Newsmax every day, Monday through Friday, at 5 o'clock. And there's been some very significant developments surrounding Newsmax. Newsmax now a publicly traded company. You can buy stock in Newsmax. And a lot of people have been very dismissive of the brand, of the content, of the viewers of Newsmax over the years. And the reality is these are just good people. These are people who listen to this radio program every single day. And so anyway, Chris Ruddy, the founder and CEO of Newsmax, invited yours truly to attend the ringing of the bell. So he was invited to ring the bell to launch the trading day on Wall Street at the New York Stock Exchange. It was really unbelievable. So got on a big bus yesterday morning and drove down there in Lower Manhattan, got to sit next to Rudy Giuliani, who is really in good spirits, by the way. And I saw him, I believe the night before, I saw him at the party. I'll get to that in just a moment. But anyway, got a chance to hang out with a lot of the folks that are guests on this program. Jeffrey Lord was there. As a matter of fact, Jeffrey and I walked over to the event together the night before. So just a wonderful time and a really great celebration. And a lot of people would think that the stock, and by the way, the stock, when it started trading, it was $10 a share, went all the way well over $200 a share. So people are excited to be a part of Newsmax and to be a part of something new and exciting, to be a part of something that is really going to restore fair and balance back to cable news. And it's fun to be able to do that sort of a show, have a great time. And I hear from a lot of you guys who watch the show and pretty much is what we do here on the radio every single day. And it's not that much difference, except I have to get gussied up. I got to wear the makeup and all that kind of whatnot. But otherwise, it's pretty much what we do on this program every single day. But I got to thinking about something as I was watching all of the things transpire over the past couple of days. And I got to thinking, why is it that talk radio has experienced such a resurgence? Why is it that Newsmax is growing by leaps and bounds? And yes, Fox is doing okay. Fox is the number one, you know, network out there. But I'm telling you something, Newsmax is on the move. And I'm curious to hear from you about this. But when you go back to the early days, when it was really just Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, I mean, that really made up national talk radio. When you go back to those days, it was really the only place where conservatives could actually get a fair shake. It was the only place where you could talk about the big issues of the day. And I'll give you an example of this. And this is personally just a big issue for me. When you are out there and you're writing a story, for example, about transgenderism, and you're covering Riley Gaines, and you're writing about the guy who's in the locker room, even at Fox News, if you go and read their content, their copy, Fox News has bowed down to the transgender mob. They refer to the preferred pronouns. So if it's a he, they'll say she. And I just don't play that game. We don't do that. And there was a time when conservative media would not do that. But now a lot of the people in the established, and I think we almost have to create a new term, the established conservative media. And these are the people that they want to be invited to all the cocktail parties in New York City and Washington, D.C. They want to be invited to the movie premieres and the late night TV show. They want to be able to sit on the couch next to Jimmy Kimmel, for example. I don't have any interest in doing that. I never have. And neither did Al Rushbo. Neither did Hannity back in the day. None of these people did. But now, conservatism has become somewhat mainstreamed in cable news. That's why Fox News is the number one cable news channel. But the reality is, even Fox is not the Fox when Roger Ailes was there, when Bill O'Reilly was there. Remember those days, even when Tucker Carlson was there. It's become more homogenized. And there's something exciting about what's happening at Newsmax. We're really on the cutting edge. We're able to do a lot of stuff on my TV show. I actually call us the most conservative show on cable television, and I truly believe that. But I think one of the reasons why people are once again returning to the roots, returning back to to talk radio and AM radio, one of the reasons why is because this is where we can actually talk about those issues. But again, you know, everybody's all excited about the stock market and how well Newsmax has done. And this is all great stuff. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a tremendous story. But I don't think that's the story here. I think the true story is that the conservatives, that the people in flyover country, the people in the heartland are rising up and they're saying, you know what? We want something different here. And you've got a lot of conservatives, and if you've been following the controversy surrounding the Daily Wire and their alleged money problems and people leaving, the problem is they missed their mark. They took their eye off the mission. Here on this program, we are laser-focused on the mission, laser-focused. And when you take your eye off of that and you start doing other things, you start to water down your product. And that's what's happening in a lot of the conservative media world right now. Now, you may not like what I have to say. You may not like what I have to write. But at least you know this, that Todd Starnes is not working off talking points, that Todd Starnes does not lift up one party for the sake of stature, for the sake of being invited to the big parties. I don't do that. When you listen to this program, you know that what you hear me say is what I believe. It's not because I'm getting paid to say it. This is what I truly believe. You may think I'm a moron. You may think I'm wrong. You may think I'm, silly, whatever. But at least you know these are my opinions. And I thought about that yesterday. I was watching all of this unfold and to see all the smiles and the happiness and to see all of these people, by the way, who used to be over at Fox News, but we're all refugees now in this new thing, this new mission called Newsmax. And again, the story here is not about the money. It's about the mission and a mission to bring that fair and balanced journalism back to the airwaves, a mission to provide compelling content from a conservative and a Christian worldview. And by the way, that is sorely missed at Fox. And I know that legacy media, they like to be dismissive of you folks, but we have a lot of farm families that listen to this program and blue-collar families. And by the way, we have a lot of white-collar folks that listen to us. Gun-toting, the flag-waving, the Bible-clinging people, they all listen. And the legacy media, the Democrats, they love to call you people deplorable, but at Newsmax, and I can tell you this, at 5 o'clock Eastern, we consider you people to be patriots, and I'm proud to call you guys friends. So again, is this the pinnacle of success for Newsmax? No, I don't think it is. I think the best is yet to come. And I think very soon we're going to start competing head-on with Fox News Channel. I can promise you this, we're going to be doing it in the 5 o'clock hour. I can promise you that. All right, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So I've got to tell this funny story. I'm on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And who do I run into but former Georgia Congressman Jack Kingston, who is over in the Savannah area. And he asked me a question. He said, man, he goes, I love your show. He goes, but I got a question. He goes, do you know Joe from LJ? And I'm like, of course. Who doesn't know Joe from LJ, Georgia, one of our favorite callers? It's hilarious. We were having a conversation about Joe from LJ on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange yesterday. But it really was a wonderful time, and it is. But as much fun as I had, it is always good to be back in Memphis and be back behind this microphone. I literally loathe leaving this microphone because it's 3 hours a day that I can't spend with you. And I will say this, Ben Dieter, as I was in the lobby of the hotel, they put us in this nice hotel. It was called the Lexington Hotel. They're on the east side of New York City. And it was a nice hotel. It wasn't like, you know, the Ritz-Carlton. But I will say this. They had a huge vending machine mm-hmm. in the lobby of the hotel.
Ooh.
They were selling high-end French champagne. So you could just put in your credit card and out pops a huge bottle of booze right there in the middle of a lobby.
They had vending machines for alcohol?
Yeah, for booze.
Wow.
Yeah, right there in New York City.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecco?
No Prosecco, just champagne. All right. A lot of people asking about you two, Dieter, and they want to know, where's Dieter? And I said, well, we had to leave him back, and we can't bring him out a lot. You know,
It's not a good thing. It's a wild thing. But you look like you had a great time, and I will say that the staff here is super proud. Super proud of you, and I know all of our Memphis listeners, because you host your Newsmax television show right here from Memphis, Tennessee. Not a lot of people know that. They think maybe you go to New York or D.C., but no, that comes straight from Memphis. So you made the city proud, and welcome back. Don't leave so long, okay?
No.
People have been asking where you've been.
Yeah, it's all good. And so anyway, folks, we've got a lot of ground to cover today. Also, we're going to be talking exclusively to a pro-life advocate. You might see this video on social media. Her name is Savannah Craven, and she got punched in the nose, knocked to the ground while she was interviewing somebody in New York City. We're going to be talking to Savannah on the program. Also, we're going to be checking in with the White House today, and we also have our radio roundtable coming up, and your calls. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was... We needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship is sailed, baby. the train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So, getting some hate mail, and I've got to share this. Carl writes in on the Facebook live stream. I'm glad you had a great time, but why are you ignoring Trump's tariffs and the destruction to people's retirement and savings? Do you not watch the news, Todd? How could you not see it being at the New York Stock Exchange? How can you be at the New York Stock Exchange and not even cover an over $3 trillion drop in financial markets yesterday, Todd? Carl, calm yourself. Don't pee yourself. Just calm. It's Friday, Carl. Now, look, I want to talk about these tariffs, and I know there are a lot of Republicans that are getting butthurt over this as well, and I mean that in the biblical sense of the word. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to go through some tough times, and I loved how the president, and yours truly actually coined this first and explained it this way first, and I'm glad to see the president of these great United States embracing this description of what's happening right now. When you go in and you're having a heart attack, all right? And what do the doctors do? They have to go in and sometimes they have to do open heart surgery. So they crack your chest open and then they fix the problem and they staple you back up. And then you've got a long road to recovery. Well, that's exactly what's happening right now with the economy. I mean, the exact same thing. And President Trump has been very clear it's going to take some time to get out of this mess that took us decades to get into. It's not like you can just flip a switch and all of a sudden things are going to be great. The idea surrounding these tariffs, and it really is a brilliant idea. These are reciprocal tariffs, ladies and gentlemen. And here's how it works. Okay, you're going to hit me. I'm fine. I'm going to punch you in the face. That's how it works. That's how Donald Trump is. And by the way, let me suggest this. A lot of countries, and the media is not going to be covering this as much as they ought to be covering it, but a lot of these countries have already started to reach out to the White House, and they're saying, okay, we get it. How do we make this right? How do we fix it? Here's the deal. If you're a country out there, you want to be country number one to make a deal. You don't want to be the very last country to make a deal with this president, because that's not going to go over well at all. But I want to give you an example here of what we're talking about. And by the way, there are a lot of people in the industries that are very excited about this, including the Southern Shrimp Alliance. Now, many of you go down to the Red Lobster, you get Uncle Walt's seafood. I was a big fan of the shrimp, the fried shrimp with the tartar sauce and those delicious Cheddar Bay biscuits. Wow, that's good stuff. Well, it turns out, ladies and gentlemen, that most of the seafood that you're eating, and it doesn't matter where you're eating it, but most of the seafood that you're eating, over 97% of it does not come from the United States. And that's a big problem. So the shrimping industry is very excited because, you see, their industry has suffered massive losses. And the reason why is the price of imported shrimp has dropped, decreasing the value of American shrimp by $1.5 billion. And I don't know about you, but when I go to Red Lobster, I would like to know that the shrimp I'm eating was actually harvested, was actually caught by American shrimpers, right? So the economic downturn led the U.S. shrimping industry to lose nearly 50% of its market value. And many shrimping companies, and these are family-owned businesses, by the way, many of them just had to shut down. And a lot of our Louisiana listeners, you know all about that. So this is very crucial. The tariffs come at a critical time and a critical moment when 94%, I said 97%, 94% of the shrimp and all seafood consumed in the United States is already imported. So President Trump is just literally leveling the playing field. And it's going to take some time, ladies and gentlemen, but if you are patient, you are not going to believe the incredible golden era that's going to be coming back to America. All right, we got to take a quick break here on this Open Line Friday. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. 866-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Yeah, I got in at 3 o'clock this morning from the Big Apple, so bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to be taking your calls today. This is Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. But I want to go to this story that's caused a lot of controversy in the state of Texas. And it's a disturbing story, and it's not getting a lot of national attention, and I'm going to explain why in just a moment, or maybe you have a suggestion on why. But there was a stabbing at a track and field event. This happened at Memorial at Frisco, or rather David Kuykendall Stadium in Frisco, Texas. Austin Metcalf, a 16-year-old, he's a student, a star athlete, star football player, and a twin, and they were at this track and field meet. And if you've ever been to a track and field meet, you know that a lot of the teams, they have their own tents that they set up, and in those tents are chairs and refreshments and things of that nature. There was a young man there, a 17-year-old named Carmelo Anthony, and he was apparently sitting in their team's area, their designated area. And Austin Metcalf told the guy that he needed to leave. Words were exchanged. And as the story is being told by the police, Metcalf, to help this guy move, picked up his bag. And at that point, Carmelo Anthony pulled out a knife and stabbed this 16-year-old in the heart. Now, Austin's twin brother was there and literally bled to death in his brother's arms. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy. Now, the Frisco, Texas police have arrested Anthony at the scene. He's been charged with first-degree murder, and he's currently being held without bail. But now the NAACP and the civil rights groups are getting involved, and they're saying that in actuality that Carmelo Anthony is the victim here, and that the aggressor was the other kid, the 16-year-old. And the victim is white, and the attacker is black. And I'm going to say this, and this will definitely trigger some folks, but when black people kill white people, the media ignores it. It's that simple. You can have a conversation about why that may be, but the fact of the matter is, when a black person kills a white person, it does not rise to the level of national news coverage. And I'll say this again. Had this been an instance where the white kid had plunged a knife into the heart of the black kid, it would have been on like Donkey Kong. They would have had every national news anchor in the country in Frisco, Texas, covering this story. But they're going to be ignoring this story. The mom, however, was on Fox News, and I had some thoughts about this. Now the father of Austin Metcalf says he doesn't believe race was involved, that there was any sort of a racial component here. And there may not have been, but overarching is this issue that we've got a big problem. We have two major problems in this country. The first major problem is black-on-black crime. The second is black-on-white crime. Those are the big issues. But When it comes to covering these kinds of stories, the only time the media gets involved is if a white person kills a black person, or in the rare instance, the very rare instance, that a police officer kills a black suspect. Look, I'm just sharing the facts. That's what I do here. So now word's coming out of some cryptic Instagram post from Carmelo Anthony the day before he plunged the knife into the heart of Austin Metcalf. And one of them shows him with what looks to be some sort of a firearm. The other, he has extended his middle finger to the... So anyway, just typical teenage stuff, except for the gun stuff, which is sort of weird. But people are trying to figure out what's really going on here. Anyway, the mother was on Fox, and with the twin brother, the surviving twin. Let's take a listen.
And then I saw him about to fall. I would go over there. I grab him. I see him.
Let's go.
Yeah. I understand. Best I can.
Yeah, it was... You can see... You can picture what happened when, you know, what was coming out of his chest. And
yeah.
Y'all can visualize that stuff. I don't want to put that on my mom right now, but I pushed my hand on there to try to make it stop, and I grabbed his head and I looked in his eyes. I just saw his soul leave, and it took my soul too.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to ask you one last question. I've seen interviews with your husband, who I can hear in the side, by the way. I think he's there in the room with you. I saw an interview last night. Okay. Someone else. Yes, okay.
Yes, sir.
But I have seen interviews with your husband in the last 24 hours, and it was remarkable to me that I heard your husband say, within hours of this, that he forgave this other young man, and he got there so quickly. And I honestly don't know that I could. And I just want to see. And I don't know that there's a right or a wrong what place to be, especially as quickly as this has happened. Megan, how do you feel on that front today?
I am not like their dad. I am so angry at that boy. It's just not fair. That's all I have.
I understand.
I'd like to say it's forgave, not forgotten, but I'm not at that point yet to forgive that kid for what he did to my brother. Because, you know, 17 years, my best friend, just there in the blink of an eye, I lost him.
All right. There's the interview. And the father says, I forgive this kid. The mother, not a chance. Not a chance. Now, NBC News in Dallas, they've managed to get their hands on the arrest affidavit. So they've got all of this information, and I want to share this with you. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, because there is some nuance involved here. The arrest warrant details the moments the officers arrived at the track meet, and they said that Carmelo Anthony admitted to police that he stabbed the kid, but he claimed it was in self-defense. The officer referred to Anthony Carmelo as the alleged suspect, and Carmelo corrected the officer and said, I'm not alleged, I did it. The two students, so again, in the minutes before the stabbing, the suspect was sitting under another team's pop-up tent as rain fell when he was told to move. That's when the two students began fighting. A witness told police that Anthony unzipped a bag he had, reached in, telling the victim, touch me and see what happens. A short time later, the arrest report says Austin grabbed Anthony to tell him to move, and Anthony pulled out a black knife and stabbed him once in the chest. He is now alleging that he was protecting himself and said, quote, he put his hands on me. So is that where we are in America now, in our public schools, where instead of just having, if you want to have an argument, it's like, hey, dude, you know, this is our high school's tent. Your tent is over there. We need you to move. Or getting an adult, getting the coach over. There were plenty of parents there. Why not get a parent and say, hey, we've got to make sure that this is for our kids and you go to another school, so you need to leave. But instead, the first reaction, the first response was pull out a knife and stab the kid. Anthony is charged with murder. He's in jail on a $1 million bond. If convicted, he faces up to 99 years in prison. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It is quite a story, and we'll see how this all plays out. But the question is, if you lay hands on somebody, at that point, do you become the aggressor? Regardless, I don't think it reaches to the level of plunging a knife in somebody's chest. I mean, geez, hello. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Dan in New Hampshire, wants to weigh in on Elon Musk. Hey, Dan, what's going on?
Yeah, Elon Musk talked about how he has the receipt uncovering the Social Security numbers to illegals so that they can vote in the election, right? So this is the Kraken that Sidney Powell and General McNamee were talking about and trying to expose corrupt elections. Both of them were taken out by the deep state, okay? William Burns, CIA, the FBI, James Comey and Christopher Wray, Lisa Monaco, the NSA, and the Bushes and the Cheneys and the Rhinos, okay? General Flynn talked about this stuff, and we need to talk about this. We need to expose it. We need to fix these elections, okay? We can't just let Trump do all the work. The Republicans got to get in there. And they got to expose it and talk about it, and we got to fix it. We can't stop till it gets fixed, because that's the only way we're going to have a total America First Republican Party, okay? Because when you look at some of these states, okay, looking at like Arkansas, you got 4 seats in the U.S. Congress in Arkansas, okay? But they're all F voters. They're all below 50. They all are all below 50. Voting rate, okay, all 4 of them, okay, and one of the U.S. senators, I don't remember his name, the other guy, not Tom Cotton, he's got an F voting record as well, both years, and then Tom Cotton himself is a D-minus, he's a 65, no, actually a D, excuse me.
Let's just kind of go back to the main issue here, and the main issue is that illegal aliens, not only were they getting Social Security numbers, they were also voting in our elections. And here's the question that has yet to be answered. We need to know how many and what elections. Are we talking about federal races? Are we talking about local elections, statewide elections? And if so, if we're talking about numbers even in the thousands, that could be enough to sway a lot of these elections and change the votes, which, again, is why we need to have voter ID laws in every state. If you show up to vote, you got to be able to prove who you are. I mean, it really is that simple. So I am excited about the president and his efforts. And even the leftists up in Wisconsin understand the importance of voter ID. That's why that issue won in a landslide. Dan, I've got to run. Thank you for the call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Also, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very excited, and you're going to be hearing more about this in the coming days, but I need your help today. The new book, it comes out June 17th. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And I am so excited for you to read this book. And we do a deep dive into some little known stories in American history about how God used people to advance his work in this nation, from Dwight D. Eisenhower to Franklin Roosevelt to Ronald Reagan. It's fascinating stories. And I want you to pre-order a copy of this book. And we need your help to boost pre-order sales. And you can do that right now by going online to your favorite bookstore. If it's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, who are very friendly to conservative authors, by the way. And you can pre-order a copy, 2 copies today. Get one for your church library. You're going to love this book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings. And it comes in Kindle, or you can get a beautiful hardcover copy. You're going to love the cover. It's one of my favorite covers of all my books. So again, go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and pre-order right now the brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, Doge is back in the news. They've uncovered another $25 million in wasteful DEI grants. Among some of the things they found, $265,000 for Queens College in New York. And the reason why they need that money, to research why bisexual people of color read Japanese comic books. $250,000 to erect gay historical markers across Ohio. You know, here's a question here, and somewhat rhetorical, somewhat theoretical. What would they do? What do you think the left would do if there was a historical marker honoring the efforts of gay Confederate soldiers during the Civil War? How do you think, what do you think they would do with that historical marker? What would they do with that kind of a statue? Just wondering. This item, Dylan, I know you're a big basketball fan, Memphis Grizzlies. Ja Morant. And Ja Morant is sort of like the Jasmine Crockett of the basketball world. Right?
He's turning into it.
Yes. He was raised in a very well-to-do middle-class family in a great area of town. Was it the Carolinas, I think?
Yeah.
Went to a great school and was educated and came to Memphis and decided, I won't be a thug. I want the thug life. And so now he's, you know, he's a wannabe thug.
Yeah.
And so he's been in trouble, quite a bit of trouble.
Yeah. 2023 season, he got suspended twice for the live stream of him holding the gun. And then what was the other one? It involved a firearm, but yeah, but like real life gun.
So he was like losing contracts the whole nine yards. Yeah. And the guy was, he was hugely popular.
He almost lost his shoe deal.
Jeez, hello. So now he's in trouble again. Apparently he was showing off an imaginary gun.
Yep.
With his fingers. Is that how it works? And now the NBA is coming in, and they're saying you can't do that. So he was doing it to celebrate a three-pointer.
Yep.
Is that right? And now the NBA is coming in and saying, oh, that's inappropriate. You can't do that.
Well, he did it at the Golden State game the other day, and they warned him. They didn't fine him. They just said, hey, that's inappropriate. Don't do that. And then he basically just said, yeah, I'm going to do it again. So he hit the three the next day. And that's when they were like, this is the time we're going to find you.
Wow. So it's $75,000 yeah. for a finger gesture.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me, being in Memphis, I would much rather him be doing that than actually firing off an actual gun.
I would have to agree with you.
Wow. That's insanity.
You know, people do these celebrations. I mean, he's not the only person that does this type of celebration, but he is one of the only players that's been fined for actually getting trouble for holding an actual gun.
He got an 8-game suspension or an 8-game ban for, remember the live streaming the video where he yeah. had the gun? What an idiot. He didn't even realize that he was on camera, or maybe he didn't care. I don't know.
And then the 25-game ban.
That's it.
For the live stream.
$8.3 million in salary it cost that guy.
Insane.
So this is fascinating because there's a lot of bad stuff going on in the NBA, but for this $75,000 fine, that's just unheard of.
Just doesn't look good. And we just lost our coach. We just fired our coach. I mean, come on. Everything's just looking a little grim for the Grizzlies.
So Ja says, I was pretty much a villain for 2 years now. I'm kind of used to it. Unbelievable. All right. Well, kids, yeah, and they say, oh, John Morant's a role model. Yeah, I mean, if you want to end up in prison, I guess. All right, got to take a break here, folks. It is Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. Our number, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Well, hello everybody, happy Friday to you, America. This is Todd Starnes, your voice of truth and hope across this great nation. Great to be back with you after a couple of days in New York City. I was debating whether or not I should actually share this info with you, but I'm going to. So I fly Delta and pretty much exclusively, and I'm well over, I think, a 1.5 million miler with Delta. So I've got a lot of miles on Delta, Diamond Medallion member, the whole nine yards. So anyway, this is the first trip I've actually taken by plane since all of the DEI hires and started, you know, crashing planes and whatever. So anyway, as I was getting on board the flight at Memphis International, I couldn't help but look and take a peep inside the cockpit to see who was actually going to be flying the plane. And is it wrong for me, and I've been struggling with this, is it wrong for me to feel a sense of relief knowing that a grown man was actually flying my plane and that the co-pilot was also a grown man, two functioning adults? All I can tell you is that the plane took off, the plane flew, the plane landed without a single incident. And by the way, we landed right side up, which is kind of unusual these days in the airline industry. And then sure enough, on the flight back to Memphis from LaGuardia, I did the same thing. And fortunately, we were blessed with two men flying the airplane. Does that make me sexist? I don't think it does. I just want to make sure that we've got the best and the brightest flying the airplane. That's all I cared about. And especially coming back into Memphis last night with all the tornadoes and all that crazy weather and stuff. So anyway, it was a good trip. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. Now today is Open Line Friday. That means you can call in. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Again, 901-260-5926. Coming up a little bit later this hour, we have Michael Wilson from Patriot Talk 920 and Justin Kazepas from WSIC in Statesville, North Carolina. Right now, though, I want to go to the phone lines and say hello to Philip from Georgia. Hi, Philip. What's on your mind?
Todd, I want to talk about the Tesla attacks and how they might be able to remedy that.
Yes, sir.
I think if Elon Musk or the government or somebody would offer a $25,000 reward for anybody that can give the information to get somebody arrested and convicted, that those people would start ratting each other out right and left. What do you think?
Yeah, I like that idea. You know, it's interesting, though, a lot of these Teslas, maybe all of them, I think, are equipped with cameras. So if you're going and vandalizing, you're going to be on camera. They're going to be able to get you.
Right. Yeah, they can get you that way, but if they were masked up and stuff, but you know, they could get a little reward going, and a few of those were to go through, and somebody got paid out of a reward, they would they'd turn on each other, and they would because they're a bunch of cowards.
They are, Philip. And you know, Philip, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, and ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open this conversation up to your thoughts as well. In Bloomington, Minnesota, there was a woman driving a Tesla, and her car got vandalized outside of a food store. It was thousands of dollars in damages. And they found out who did it. And by the way, the charge is $3,200 in damage to the Tesla. So police posted on social media a video of the woman in the parking lot. They asked for tips, and they found out who the person was. And the woman fessed up. And it turns out the owner said, you know what, if you just pay the repair bill, we're going to be good here. I don't want any charges filed. Just pay the repair bill. And the police department said, okay, sure. And here's what the police chief said. This is what gets me. Based on the totality of the circumstance here, along with our, and this is the part I'm curious about, our core value of being compassionate, this is the best outcome for everybody involved in the case. But is it really? I mean, is a police department, is their core value supposed to be compassion? I thought it was supposed to be enforcing the law, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, here is the police chief in Bloomington, Minnesota, cut number one.
Bloomington Chief Hodges here. Showed you this video last week of this person scratching his Tesla. And like SpongeBob said here, thanks to everybody's help, we were able to identify them. The suspect here is a woman in their late 20s. They turned themselves in. They were brought in with their family. They've been fully cooperative. The victim in this case just wanted their car fixed, and they just wanted the suspect to pay for that. Based on the totality of the circumstances here, and along with our core value of being compassionate, this is the best outcome for everybody involved in this case. But let me be clear here. In Bloomington, you probably have never heard me utter these words. The suspect in this case may have been a victim. And I mean victim in terms of the rhetoric that is being spewed out here by some of those in leadership. We need our leaders to start leading and stop feeding this rhetoric. People should be able to drive whatever car they want without fear of going into a store and someone scratching their car, or people yelling at them because of the car that they start that they choose to drive. It's time for all of us, you know, just to start getting along and knock this stuff off, man. People should be able to be left alone.
All right, so this guy's a woke libster, this police chief in Bloomington, Minnesota. And he's the guy, so he's now suggesting that the vandal, the criminal here, that she's a victim too because people were saying mean things about her online. It would be sort of like this. Let's just say that you get shot by somebody. All right, you're in, where's a place you would least likely get shot? We'll say Memphis, Tennessee. So you're in Memphis, Tennessee, and you're having a lovely lunch in the beautiful, bustling community of Orange Mound. And all of a sudden, you get set upon, and you're sitting there drinking your iced tea, perhaps eating some delicious ribs, and somebody opens fire and shoots you. And so the police chief comes to visit you in the hospital. You would be at, what, Regional 1, which is where they handle all of the multitude of gunshot victims in Memphis. And I'm saying this theoretically because our mayor says that there is no more crime in our great city. So you're getting patched up. You're going through surgery, and the police chief says, "Okay, who did this to you?" And you're saying, and you would say, "Well, a gangbanger did this to me. A gangbanger, sir. A gangbanger." And at that moment, the police chief could very well arrest you and charge you with hurting the feelings of the gangbanger. That's what this guy's doing here. Now, I can appreciate this person, whoever the Tesla driver is, and by the way, this is a great reminder here. Just bear with me for a moment. Most Tesla drivers are far left radicals, right? They're just leftist. Okay, they're not leftists. They're liberals. Oh, we just love everybody, and we just love our environment, which is why we plug our car into the garage. Shame on you for driving a gas guzzler. That's who they are. They can't help themselves. They're liberals. They love America, but they're liberals. And they love the environment, but they're liberals. They don't know anything. So anyway, you've got this liberal here. Well, you know, maybe my car was triggering people. So What if we just do this? If you just pay the bills, then we'll be okay. No, you are the victim of a crime. And I know the police chief is out there giving out lollipops to criminals and patting them on their head. Oh, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. You're a criminal. Stop attacking Tesla drivers. So the question here is, what sort of a message does this send in Bloomington, Minnesota, and really the rest of the country, where if now the Tesla owners are just going to be dismissive of the people who are attacking them? Unbelievable. But that's the reality of it. Again, it seems to me here that if you are a criminal, you get what's coming at you. And by the way, calling someone a bad name, that is the least of their problems. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, I've got to play this audio. You know, a lot of people now are saying that, wow, I just remembered something else that happened on the airplane as a result of this story. A lot of people now are saying that it's okay to be morbidly obese and that it is part of our culture now and part of certain cultures in America. And I was on the plane. I forgot about this story. There was a time, some of you old timers will remember this. There was a time in airline travel when you dressed up, you wore pants, ladies, you wore dresses, you sometimes wore what you would go to church in, right? To go on an airplane ride. And people, gentlemen would wear ties. Even the young children would all dress up. And the flight attendants were basically fashion models. It was, how can I frame this delicately? It was like Hooters at 40,000 feet, right? It was just, you had drop-dead gorgeous ladies. They weren't dressed in, you know, skimpily. They were dressed in very nice outfits, uniforms that were comfortable, that could, you know, get them up and down the aisles. And anyway, that's what airline travel was. You had something pleasant to look at. So anyway, I'm drinking my ginger ale. Dylan, this is terrible. I'm drinking my ginger ale. I'm in first class. I'm in the first row of first class, and it's one of the smaller jets, right? So it's only got one seat, so I like those. So I'm sitting there in 1A, and I'm drinking with my right hand, so my elbow kind of comes out a little bit. I got nailed by the flight attendant coming. And it wasn't, I didn't get nailed by the flight attendant. I got nailed by her badonkadonk. I mean, it was just like, wide load. Probably should have turned to the side and just kind of scooted down the aisle. I almost had ginger ale all over me. I didn't complain. I didn't say anything. I'm like, wow, will you look at that? That polyester stretches. So anyway, that leads me to this story. There is a move afoot to change nutritional guidelines to embrace obesity. And the person you're about to hear, she is actually a member of the USDA Nutrition Guidelines Committee.
If you diet, you lose weight, right?
The number one cause of obesity is genetics. That means if you are born to parents that have obesity, you have a 50 to 85% likelihood of having the disease yourself, even with optimal diet, exercise, sleep management, stress management. So when people see families that have obesity, the assumption is, what are they feeding those kids?
Yeah, they're feeding them chitlins and lard, fat pack, ho-hos. That's what they're feeding them. So I'm curious, are you buying into this idea that obesity has nothing to do with your diet? So you're telling me that you could sit there and you could eat a bucket of fried chicken, mashed potatoes, mac and cheese. You could eat an entire package of Sister Schubert's rolls, and you're telling me that that has no effect on how big your body is, that it's all about genetics. Is that what you're telling me? because it's been my experience that if you diet, you actually lose weight. But if you stuff your face every day, then you're going to gain weight. I mean, it really is that simple. Well, that's old Bubba Earl. 10 years old, weighs 400 pounds. But his mama was born that way. I'm pretty sure Bubba Earl wasn't born at 400 pounds. There'd have been a whole lot of hollering going on at the General Hospital. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, don't forget, head over right now. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, to Amazon and pre-order a copy of my brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And I want you to pre-order a copy now. We need your help. We've got to have a strong, strong early surge of pre-orders. So get out there. And, I'm still banned over at Fox. That's disappointing. But I'm a little bit too conservative for Fox News these days. So we need your help on this radio program and to hit that big New York Times bestseller list. So you can do that by going right now to Amazon and pre-ordering, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 copies of the book. You're going to love it. By the way, they do make great, great gifts as well. All right, Michelle Obama is back in the news. What is up with that woman's hairstyle? What is going on there? It's like, Stegosaurus chic? Something, it's very strange, peculiar, but whatever. I'm just genuinely curious. Michelle Obama doing a podcast with her brother, and she's been dropping a lot of very curious observations about her husband. And Big M has raised eyebrows over the past couple of weeks since she dropped this podcast. So there is a new podcast out, and there's been a lot of speculation about the Obamas and their marriage, whether or not they're still cohabitating together. We just don't know. There's a lot of talk, a lot of tittle tattle, if you will. Anyway, here's what Michelle Obama has to say about men.
With men, sometimes I think they're maybe a little bit too visual. I think there are a lot of women who are open to a lot of different kind of men and a lot of different kind of lifestyles. Women want a partner.
That's interesting. So do you get the impression and we've played some of these other podcast clips, these snippets. Do you get the impression she's trying to tell us something? Or maybe that she really, really, really wants to tell us something, but she can't tell us something because of, a prenup or the fact that, exactly what kind of different kinds of men are women actually open to? Now, it seems to me if you're a woman, you would be open and pretty much solely open to a man who is a man. And what is this about lifestyle? What is she trying to tell us here? There's something going on. Women are open to a lot of different kinds of men. Could that be men who may not be men, or men who enjoy the fraternity of other men, maybe, perhaps? I don't know. It's very curious. Inquiring minds want to know, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Well, there's a fascinating story out of North Carolina. The Supreme Court, they had a race there. The Democrat in this race won by just 700 votes. So here's what's crazy. There were 65,000 voters who may or may not be eligible to have actually voted. And so now a judge has stepped in and said those 65,000 voters must now prove they were eligible to vote, or they could have their votes removed from the final count. That means that the Republicans might be able to flip that seat. But again, this ruling coming from the State Board of Elections, anybody who doesn't respond in 15 days will have their vote, their ballot, thrown out. And that could give the courtship, the judgeship to Jefferson Griffin, who is the Republican there. So huge news coming out of North Carolina. And I say that's huge because, again, DOGE announcing that more than a million illegals have voted in elections. So exactly where those people voted, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get to the bottom of it. We've just got to get to the bottom of it all. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker lines. Michael Wilson, radio host of the Lone Star Conservative on Patriot Talk 920. Justin Kazepas, of the host of Good Morning LKN and owner of WSIC. Gentlemen, good to have you with us today.
Happy Friday. Thank you for having me, Todd.
All right. So before we get started here, Justin, this is exciting news here in North Carolina that the State Court of Appeals ruling in favor here of deciding whether or not these people were legitimate voters.
It's been an interesting ride here in North Carolina, still without, you know, a chief there and what's to happen in the future. Very interesting times, but the battle is continuing on, and And, you know, when you believe in something, you got to stick with it, Todd, and that seems to be what the Republicans are saying right now.
I like to hear that. And, you know, Michael, we were talking about the DOGE uncovering all of those illegals, getting Social Security numbers, and it certainly is very clear now, and we have the irrefutable evidence that the point of all of this was to fix elections across the country.
Yeah, and it's very funny, Todd, because I think you and I both remember very clearly when it was how many hundred years ago? Oh, I mean, it was last year. When the Democrats told us, no, we don't want them to vote, despite the fact that the Democrat Party platform literally ran on giving them what they call the path to citizenship through the Citizenship Act, we all knew it. It's very obvious to anyone with two brain cells to rub together, but they thought the American people didn't have two brain cells to rub together, and now all the news is coming out. And for those that were paying attention, I don't think it's surprising at all.
Guys, we've been following the tariffs, and there's been a lot of concern, and including among conservatives. And I'm wondering what you guys are hearing, and Justin, I'll start with you, and then Michael, weigh in here. From your listeners, are they concerned here? Are they beginning to question the president's moves, and is this the right move for the president to make?
Todd, to be honest with you, you know, we live in a pretty deep red territory, right? And people are mostly, even those that maybe for, you know, the lifelong Democrat, the old school blue collar Democrat, They realize that the working people right now are the ones that are suffering the most. So to be honest with you, here in North Carolina, everybody's excited, and we've talked about this before. This is the value of having good local leadership in communities. And I'm talking down to the local mayors, the town managers, our area particularly here throughout Lake Norman. They have been on the move since the day it was announced that President Trump won the election. Particularly, I want to give a shout out to the mayor of Mooresville, Chris Carney, who has done an excellent job recruiting companies to come out here from manufacturing, the industrial side. It is on the move here in North Carolina.
Guys, I want to play some audio here. This is from a Mississippi shrimper who says, hey, look, we love this because we're getting our butts handed to us by this cheap seafood coming in from other countries. Cut 19, please.
The shrimpers here like tariffs because they say they will save their jobs and save their entire industry. We have to remember that more than 90% of shrimp consumed in the United States is imported from overseas, and the American shrimpers say they just can't compete. Let's bring in Leanne Bossage, who is the fifth generation of her family to be involved in the commercial fishing industry. Leanne, what would happen to American shrimping without tariffs?
Well, the U.S. domestic shrimp industry has been on a downward trajectory for decades now as a direct result of the unfair trade in the overseas aquaculture industry for growing shrimp overseas. And these tariffs threw us the lifeline that we needed to hopefully live to fight another day in our industry in this country.
So, Michael, there in the Houston area, of course, you guys are close to the coast, and that's a big deal. A lot of those shrimpers in Texas and Louisiana. What are you hearing from your people?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing, Todd. I think a lot of people, and there's two ways to go about this. I think the first is that a lot of people believe that Trump has a plan, that it's not just tariffs that'll, you know, instrumentally raise all the prices forever. I think they are well aware that Trump, both in his 4 years as president previously from 2016 to 2020, and as a businessman, has some pretty solid plans in that department. So a lot of it is trust. But secondarily, I think a lot of people
almost view tariffs as a sort of tax, ultimately, and it's the cost they're willing to pay to bring jobs back to the U.S., whether it's shrimping jobs, manufacturing jobs. I think a lot of people realize that no matter what president we've had, you know, there have been instances where we had to pay more, pay less. And the reality is, Todd, that for many years, we were paying more while losing jobs. And so now the opportunity is, well, for now, in the short term at least, it looks like maybe this price could go up or that. But the reality is that America has been far behind when it comes to manufacturing our own equipment. And I think that the reality is for a lot of our listeners that they're very excited to see them bringing the jobs back to this country. I think it's a big deal, and I think it's worth whatever is coming in the short term.
I say this, guys, if you got a problem with all of this, buy American, right? I mean, it really is that simple. Buy American. And you've got to do your homework as a consumer as well. You've got to make sure those products are being made right here on American soil. And, guys, I want to hop into the Todd Stearns Radio Show Time Machine for just a moment. And I want to go back to when Barack Hussein Obama was president, and he was talking about the tariffs that he put on China. Cut number 8.
We had a tire case in which they were flooding us with cheap domestic tires or cheap Chinese tires. And we put a stop to it. And as a consequence, saved jobs throughout America. I have to say that Governor Romney criticized me for being too tough in that tire case. Said this wouldn't be good for American workers and that it would be protectionist. But I tell you, those workers don't feel that way.
Well, there you go, Justin. What is old is new again.
Absolutely, Todd. Gotta love it. I was seeing some clips on X of Chuck Schumer when he had hair, and it was phenomenal to see the rhetoric that they were using back then, even Nancy Pelosi, right? But years later, after you make a bunch of money on the inside of the game, we all know how it goes. I think the genie's out of the bottle. The American people aren't as stupid as a lot of the lifers in the government want people to believe they are. And now they know that, hey, jig's up. It's time to really get serious here for the American people.
All right, Michael, I want to talk about this crazy story out of Texas, of Frisco, Texas. We talked about it earlier in the show. Austin Metcalf, a high school athlete, 4.0 grade point average, killed in cold blood. His attacker says, yeah, I did it, but it was self-defense. How big of a story is that there in the Lone Star State?
It's a huge story, Todd, especially because, and I notice a lot of people are comparing it to George Floyd, not because they're anything remotely similar in what actually, you know, ended up happening, but to point out, you know, a lot of people on the left rioted, and it wasn't riots where it was targeted. They were just outright riots destroying billions in property. People died, fires, arson, all kinds of crime as a result of the George Floyd debacle, despite the fact that it's nothing similar and was warranted. And the reality is, Todd, that for years they've touted the word racist at people like you and people like me. Anytime we bring up statistics, anytime we try to solve problems, they say, no, 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 you're a racist for even pointing it out. And so what I've noticed in the dialogue right now, no matter where you're at, is that if you even talk about this story, if you didn't point out that there's realities to this story, if you point out that the statistics align well with this story and that we have to handle this problem that is clearly plaguing our nation, you immediately get the word racist lobbied at you. On the flip side of that, something that I'm very excited about that I've personally witnessed and that I'm seeing in all the numbers is that the people on our side, conservatives these days, don't seem to care about the labels anymore. I know that I don't. Most of my friends don't. And so all of the terms racist, Nazi, bigot, they don't apply in the dialogue. And so we're able to have a realistic conversation and say, look, the statistics are clearly skewed. And until we figure out what the cultural problem is, we can't do anything. And the only way to admit and fix the problem is to first step by exposing that problem. And I think this story is doing a phenomenal job at getting the dialogue going in that aspect.
And again, the idea of this being part of a culture, that language concerns me because it's almost ludicrous to think this way. But when you look at what's been happening you've seen the videos on the cruise ships and the Walmarts and, you know, Memphis, where you have these massive brawls, and the argument, the defense mechanism, and it always comes back to this is culture. And almost as if you can't say anything about that because that's just the way things are. I just don't buy that. But again, I think it's a very fair conversation to have, because if this had been a white kid who had plunged a knife into the heart of a black child, there would be wall-to-wall news coverage on this story.
Yeah, deeply devastating story. I mean, you never want to hear, regardless of race, regardless of motto and creed, when we're talking about the future generations of America, you do not want to hear these type of tragic stories. But again, when we look at it, we have to say to ourselves, okay, what were the facts? And I think over time, right, we've seen this time and time again, people get really loud in the beginning. It's very emotional. And then, of course, you've got the mainstream media that's going to pick one direction, which you can pretty much guess which way it's going to go from the default. But we've got to get back to really realizing it matters what happens at home. And I think that's, again, what's continuously being exposed right now. We've got to get back to core values in the family. And I think we're starting to see that, Tom.
Well, I certainly hope so. And let's hope for justice for this family. But, Michael, I want to give you the last word here because the father came out right away and said, oh, this has nothing to do with race. I just wonder if he was so conditioned or if someone told him to come out there and say that, because clearly the mom feels very different about how all of this went down.
Yeah, Todd, and I give him a little bit of grace just because we're in the first few days and he's going through a lot of grief. And so he's clearly very emotional. I think there's a lot of opportunity for manipulation. I think the left has relied on manipulating grief. I think that's their entire talking point when it comes to gun control, is to take tragic situations and run on the grief for the few days and few weeks afterward. And I think that's what we're seeing with this father. But the reality, Todd, is that this discussion is going exactly the way that I want it to be going. I'm watching as even a lot of the people that I would have considered mainstream are willing to talk about and say, look, this wasn't, you know, a white child plunging a knife into the heart of a black child. This went one direction, which is the direction statistically that it often goes. And I think that people are becoming less and less afraid to talk about that. And so I'm excited to see where the dialogue goes in the coming weeks, because this is something that I talk about on my show frequently. I say, look, there is such a thing as factual reality, and we cannot be afraid of being name-called and sacrifice truth on the altar of acceptance.
Well said. Guys, the show doing well in Statesville and in Houston, Justin?
Yeah, absolutely. The areas continue to boom. Again, North Carolina, again, open for business. Absolutely loving it. But at the same time, I'll say we got enough people stay away because, you know, we like the green grass and the trees going on out here, too. So it's pretty good.
No, I understand that. Absolutely. Michael, how's the Todd Stern Show doing live in Houston?
Oh, it's going great, Todd. Everybody loves it. We're very excited to have you in that slot. It's a phenomenal opportunity. We have our second annual Patriots Dinner. I know you came and spoke at the one last year. We're very excited for how it's going. We're having that event again tomorrow night, and we're just so excited with the growth of the station here.
Well, it's
finally have some real conservative talk.
It is going to be a great night. You guys throw one heck of a bash. Is it over at Houston Baptist again?
It's over at Houston Christian University. Yes,
wow.
Sir.
You see, I'm sorry, I'm old school. I still call it HBU, but it is Houston Christian University now, so I love it. Great, great university. Beautiful people out there. And be sure to tell everybody I said hello.
Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. Michael, Justin, thanks, guys. And, folks, we got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys this. They also had me up there to do new publicity shots for the TV network, and they bring in all these big makeup artists and whatnot, and it was quite the photo shoot. They have like three or four people there, and yeah, the big lights and the makeup and everything. So anyway, they lathered me down with the makeup. It was like spackle. Ladies, I don't know how you do this. I really don't. But they were doing the hair and the makeup and the eyes, and they're like, oh, do you want us to do something with your, do you want us to fluff your eyebrows? And I'm like, no, I don't want you to fluff my eyebrows. Those are manly eyebrows. Manly eyebrows are not to be fluffed. So I had regular eyebrows. And then they were wanting to do something with the eyelashes. And I'm like, no guy liner for me. No, I draw the line at the guy liner. So anyway, nice enough guy. It turns out the guy who was doing the shoot had been in Memphis, and years ago had photographed B.B. King. And some of the iconic B.B. King images of him in concert, this guy actually filmed. And he's coming out with a coffee table book. And we're going to try to get him on because he's done a lot of photo shoots with a lot of famous people. So anyway, all that to say, I was I had the Delta app. I don't know if you guys do the apps, but I had the Delta app, and I love these apps because it's just so easy. You don't have to worry about printing off stuff and all that kind of good stuff. But I have the face. I have the face ID. You know, you have the what is it, facial identification mode on your phone. So anyway, Dylan, I'm at the airport, and I'm getting ready to go through the TSA. I have clear, so the and that's great because you don't have to stand in line. You just walk through. They've got your info. You're in and out in just like 30 seconds, even at LaGuardia. So anyway, I'm getting out of the Uber, and I'm walking in, and I'm trying to call up all my information. And it said, my phone said, we don't recognize your face. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? So anyway, I tried it three or four times, and it wasn't working. And then I thought, well, maybe it's just the Delta app. So I tried another, it's my Bank of America, the Bank of America thing. So I got that app. We don't recognize your face. I'm like, what the heck? So then I'm Googling this. Now I'm like, what to do if your face identification that doesn't work on? And they said, you know what? Shut your phone off. Give it 10 seconds or a minute, and then turn it back on, and everything should work. So anyway, I'm standing there in the middle of the lobby at LaGuardia Airport, and so I turn off my iPhone, and I thought maybe, and again, this was the iPhone that the crazed Karen outside the Tesla dealership grabbed and threw on the ground. I thought, dadgummit, she ruined my phone. So turn it back on, punch in the passcodes, and it still wouldn't work. And so at that time, I'm like, I had put my hand up to my eyebrow or my forehead. And when I did, my hand was bronzed. And I thought, wait a second. And so I go into the men's room and I grab some tissues, and I forgot to take off all the blasted makeup. And as soon as I did that and tried it, boom, it worked like a charm.
Oh, boy.
My own phone did not know what I look. All that to say, I may look pretty darn good in these publicity photos. I think they got me down to one chin. All right. Hang tight, everybody. So there you go. Ladies, I have great respect for you and the makeup stuff. All right. 901-260-5926. Coming up, an exclusive interview with that pro-lifer who was attacked in New York City. Also checking in at the White House press room. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. Hour three of the big show. By the way, it is Open Line Friday. That means we will be taking your calls later this hour of the program. I want you to write down our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So a very disturbing story that has become viral on social media involving an attack on a pro-life journalist who was attacked by a pro-abortionist while doing an interview on the streets of New York City. That individual, working with Live Action, one of the great pro-life organizations in the nation, Savannah Craven is on our Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line and joins us live today. Savannah, thank you so much for taking a few moments to talk with our audience.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm alive.
Wow. It's Savannah, I saw the video, and it's just, it's so painful and heartbreaking to watch what happened. Can you set us up and take us back to the moments leading up to the attack?
Absolutely. Well, like you mentioned, I do pro-life activism with Live Action. They're a wonderful pro-life organization, very, very big in the media space. And just like any other normal day, I was out with my husband, who is also my cameraman, and we were doing some interviews to talk to people about perception versus reality on Planned Parenthood. What is your perception of them? And then actually, what is the truth of what they really do? And this woman who attacked me, she came up into the video. She was very, very happy to see us. She complimented my husband on his skin tone, and she complimented my dress and had a very good vibe and was very pro Planned Parenthood, made that very clear from the beginning. And I started to, as I do, challenge her a little bit on her beliefs, just asking her more in-depth questions. And this is just it's a consistent pattern on when you challenge the left and the pro-abortion supporters, so many of them, is where they turn to violence because they see that a lot of their thought processes don't line up. And she then, after admitting that she thinks that we should kill all kids in foster care because they might go through struggle, she said that that was not the point of what she was trying to say, even though she stated that absolutely insane statement. And then she decked me in the face, totally out of nowhere.
As a matter of fact, we have a clip of that moment because it was all captured on video. Let's play that.
Don't understand the magnitude of having a child. I'm not the one who admitted they would be okay with killing babies in foster care and killing children that have been abused.
That's not the point. What I'm saying.
And Savannah, it wasn't like there was a lead up or the voices were getting raised. It was just boom.
Right. And that's what caught me so off guard. You can see even when right before her fist hits my face, I'm still having the same facial expression because there was nothing leading up that I thought she was going to assault me.
So she punched you what, in the nose and in the face?
She punched me in my left eyebrow and also a second time with her phone, which split open my eye right below my eyebrow. And I have two stitches. I have a beautiful purple and pink and red eye now. So we're rocking with the battle scars.
It's really shocking. And I saw the after photos, and there was a lot of blood. You went to the hospital. Have you had any conversations with police officers?
Yes, they're actively trying to investigate this case and find the woman who did this. And we have her face plastered all over social media. So the more people can share, somebody's got to know who this woman is, and we're going to get justice.
Well, yeah, and that has to happen. I mean, we cannot have something like this going down. And again, you were just out there doing these man on the street interviews. We've all done them before in journalism. And for this woman just to completely go bonkers, what happened after the attack? I know your husband rushed to your aid. What happened to this woman? What did she do?
Yes, well, my husband, actually, I believe that he saved me from her beating me even further because she actually backed up after hitting me twice and then launched at me, and he intervened, and thank God for manly men that are also my cameramen that protect women. I mean, it is incredible that many of these, not all, but many of these abortion supporters, I mean, abortion is violence, right? So it produces violence. And very quickly after that, she just started walking away. My husband, Henry, went after her and was trying to get more of her face on camera, trying to say, like, why did you do this? You just attacked my wife. And then he runs back to me because we live in New York City and everybody is just a bunch of NPCs and nobody was really coming to help me. They were just all standing around looking and wondering what happened instead of trying to ask me if I needed help. And this is all because we're just trying to change hearts and minds. And although I have a couple battle scars, I will say that this is nothing compared to what is done to babies over 1,000 times a day in our country by Planned Parenthood. And I'll take a million more hits if it means that abortion is abolished.
Well, that's admirable, but you should not have to worry about something like that happening. But we have seen this, you know, when you go back to the days after Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court, the attacks and the number of attacks on pro-lifers out there is just off the charts.
Absolutely.
All right.
They want to destroy any narrative that doesn't fit theirs. And I really hope that although there might be some pro-choice people listening in right now, that you would condemn violence against any people because this is unacceptable. This is not okay.
No, it's not okay. And it's also not okay for the FBI to knock down the doors of pro-lifers in their homes or throw elderly pro-life women in jail for praying outside abortion clinics. I mean, the amount of vitriol and hate directed at the pro-life community in this nation is just unacceptable.
100%. Yep, we have to keep fighting against it. And if something like this were to ever happen to anyone, make sure you're recording, make sure you report it, and don't back down. That's what they want us to do, is back down, to stop doing this ministry that we have been called to do. And this has just inspired me to continue even further. So you'll see me back out on the street soon.
And we will see you as well on my Newsmax TV show later this evening, where we will continue that conversation. Savannah, thank you so much. I'm glad you're doing better. You sound like you're in good spirits, and no doubt the NYPD, they're going to hunt down this person.
Amen. Thank you so much.
All right. Savannah Craven, ladies and gentlemen, a pro-life advocate working for Live Action. We have the video on my website, toddstearns.com. I would encourage you to go over there to watch this. It was so it was just unprovoked. It would just be like just having a regular conversation, and the next thing you know, you're just slugging somebody in the eye socket. Just unbelievable. But again, you'll be able to hear more of Savannah's story tonight, and we'll also be playing some of that video as well on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Well, the big media, they are out to stop President Trump at any cost. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, they're all the same. And President Trump, he doesn't trust big media, even Fox News these days. And now millions of people are actually turning to Newsmax. Nielsen reports almost, get this, 30 million Americans tuned into Newsmax in the last quarter. And President Trump is one of them. He watches Newsmax and says it's terrific. So tune in tonight. Watch Rob Fenerty's series, The Big Media's War on Trump. Every night, Rob exposing their big lies and gives you the straight talk you want. You can find Newsmax on all major cable systems, or you can download the free Newsmax app on your phone or home TV. Millions are making the switch to Newsmax, and you should too. All right, welcome back, everybody. 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Lillian in Georgia. Hi, Lillian. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Todd. I've got a lot on my mind right now. I was a little surprised to hear you say that you weren't comfortable with a female pilot, that you always checked to make sure there were male pilots on the airline.
Yes, I did do that, Lillian, and the reason why is because I'm concerned about diversity hires. And I'd like to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the person flying my airplane is actually qualified to do it.
Well, I agree with you on that very much. But let me remind you that we have a female pilot that is an astronaut. We have several. There's a female pilot that flies with the Blue Angels. So surely they would hire a qualified female.
Well, you would think so, Lillian, but as we have learned over the past, I don't know, year or so, that a lot of the airline industry has gotten into the whole wokeness and diversity hires, and they've hired people that are not qualified. And when you look at the last couple of major airplane crashes, they were involving female pilots, and there's been a lot of question whether or not those female pilots were actually qualified to fly those planes, or were they just hired because of their sex?
Well, that's true. I would hate that they would be better qualified to be hired.
But you see what happens, Lillian, is that you're right. There may very well be an incredibly well-qualified female pilot, but there's always going to be that suspicion of doubt, that cloud of doubt, because of diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, where they're actually going out and intentionally hiring females who are not qualified to meet some sort of a quota system.
But don't you think that could happen the same for a male, that they might hire a male because that's a friend, or they know for some reason that they wanted to hire that particular male? Could be the same thing.
No, I don't believe so, Lillian, and here's the reason why. Because they're not hiring white guys anymore. They don't want to hire white men, because that just flies in the face of the DEI regime and the DEI movement. But I hear what you're saying, and don't misread what I'm saying. I do believe there are well-qualified female pilots. But I got to tell you, It does make you wonder when you hop onto that airplane, especially in light of the news that we've seen of these plane crashes and female pilots were at the helm of those flights. Lillian, thank you for calling in. Let's go to Mary Alice in North Carolina. Hi, Mary Alice. What's on your mind today?
Oh, nice to hear your voice. I was calling in regards to the lady who lost her son by gunshot, and that's where I wanted to start. I've just got a brief thing to say. I am a Baptist like you, and I am a licensed pastor, but, you know, Baptists don't take women in the church as far as preaching. Anyway, I lost my only son 18 years ago, and I just want her to know that, yes, it's hard. I know it's hard, but I didn't grieve for a long time after he was gone. And it's hard for them, and I know it is. And I'm going back to school at Liberty University in Virginia. And I want to become, since I'm a retired nurse, I want to go into pastoral grief counseling. And I just like, she's doing the right thing by going through the grief, bless her heart. I didn't for a long time. And it all hit me one day when it was like 26 years of nursing hit me. And you got to go through these steps. If you don't, you're just not going to make it. It's very difficult. However, I felt that I had to take care of everybody else like a nurse would. And the big problem is that left me out because I was too busy working as a nurse. But it doesn't matter what you're doing. Have your faith in God and keep it strong because he's not going to let anything happen to you that is otherwise. And that's why we worship this God, Jesus, and what have you. Anyway, this is more of just a quick talking thing for information. And I'm, like I said, I'm going for grief counseling, pastoral grief counseling. And I'm going to set it up as gratis because there are people who can't afford a psychiatrist or a psychologist. But if you can just hang in there with the steps of grief, like Kubler Ross taught us in school, it will make a huge difference. Just tell her not to stop. Let her get it off of her chest. It's been 18 years ago since he was killed, and it's very difficult. He was 26. The killer was 26. He ended up with five shotgun wounds to the abdomen and first hit him in the head, and it was just he was driving. And I knew as soon as somebody came to the door, the sheriff and a counselor, that something was definitely wrong, and I had suspected that. Anyway, he was taking her to get counseling for an abusive relationship. Unfortunately, the abuser got hold of him. But as far as 26 years ago, a quick thing. The person who shot him was the same age he was, and it took over 2 years to get this settled in a court, and that's really difficult because he's only going to be in there for 26. I hate to say I'm glad my son's gone because obviously this person is full of anger toward people, and they're all over the place. People don't understand that. A lot of people don't. But I just wanted to let her know that I'll be praying for her, that she's not alone. And if she can find a grief counselor, wherever she might be, once she can, talk to somebody about it. And it sounds like she's trying to now. If she could reach out to the counselor, it would make things easier for her.
Well, Mary Alice, thank you for calling in. And I think that's a noble thing you are doing. And you've picked a fine school. I can't think of a better place to get that sort of pastoral grief counseling degree or counseling certificate than Liberty University. They're just incredible people. And I appreciate you sharing your story. I can't even begin to imagine the pain and the grief, but I think you're right. It is good to talk to somebody. Make sure that you've got a close group, a support group around you. Mary Alice, thank you for that great, great word of guidance and advice. Let's go to Robert in North Carolina. Hi, Robert. What's on your mind?
How are you today, Todd? Are you doing all right today?
All right, let's put Robert on hold. All right, thank you for that. We'll get that figured out there. Again, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be checking in with Anna Kelly, one of the deputy press secretaries at the White House. There is a lot of anger right now directed at President Trump among Republicans, among conservatives. Some of you Trump supporters out there very upset about these tariffs. I want to hear from you. If that's a big problem, do you have a problem with the way President Trump is handling the tariffs? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, and we're going to be taking your calls. I have to say this, America is finally back, and that's why we've got to stand with American-owned companies that share our values. So many people have been debanked by the big guys. That's why you need to consider Old Glory Bank. They support hardworking American small businesses, and they support your constitutional rights. There's no cancel culture. There's no woke nonsense. Just a bank founded by our friend Dr. Ben Carson and Larry Elder that believes in faith, freedom, and the flag. I want you to go and check them out right now. OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. That's OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. Check them out. They're FDIC insured. You're going to love them. Again, OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. All right, just got a note from some of our insiders over at Facebook Meta. Meta Facebook. Anyway, we've got insiders now. So this is exciting news. Starting Monday afternoon, the entire fact-checking program in the United States is officially over. So that means no more new fact-checking, no more fact-checkers. They are winding down the program and removing all the penalties. And I am telling you, it was so far, far to the left. You just can't even imagine. And we had to deal with these people all the time. So in place of the fact-checking, the first community notes are going to start appearing on Facebook, Threads, and Instagram with, again, no penalties attached. It's an exciting move as Meta Facebook makes good on their promises. And I am telling you, we have already seen a massive response. As a matter of fact, our engagement over the past, I think, 10 or 11 days, over 80 million people using our programs, using our pages, seeing our content on social media. So anyway, thank you for that great news there. And want to thank our good friends over at Facebook. Well, I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Anna Kelly, White House Deputy Press Secretary. Anna, good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be here.
So, look, I know there's a lot of consternation among even some Republicans about the president's reciprocal trade plan, but the reality is this. If you really are concerned about tariffs, you need to be buying American, and in the long run, as the president said, it may be painful in the short term, but long term, it is only going to be good for America.
Yeah, well, you should buy American, and these companies should manufacture their products here in America, right? That is the end all be all. If you want to avoid these tariffs, the way to do that is to manufacture your product right here in the United States. And that's why we're already seeing a response from companies like Hyundai putting $20 billion into the U.S. economy, creating great new manufacturing jobs. Companies like Stellantis investing $5 billion. The investments are rolling in because these companies recognize the way to avoid these tariffs is to create great manufacturing jobs right here in the United States. These are going to be great jobs that can support families that have great benefits. And you're right, it's going to have tremendous long-term benefits for communities across the country.
Yeah, that's what gets me. And I think people love to try to take cheap shots when they think it's okay to take cheap shots at the president. I don't like that. And the Republicans need to stay on board, unite behind the president. He knows what he's doing. This man won office with a mandate. And Anna, the reality of it is this, the days of other countries taking advantage of the United States, those days are over, aren't they?
They are, and that's what this president is trying to rectify. This isn't just the past 4 years, right? This is decades and decades under Democrats and Republicans of unfair trading practices with leaders who accepted the status quo of other countries and companies across the world ripping us off. Not anymore. This president says if you want access to the American consumer market, which is the greatest consumer market in the world, you will have to manufacture your product right here in the United States. And we're going to impose this golden rule for the golden age. All we're doing is saying we are going to tariff you the same way you tariff us, and we're going to treat you the way we treat us. And in the end, it's going to level the playing field for our farmers, workers, manufacturers, all of whom who have been ripped off by these unfair trading policies. They're now going to have more fair access to markets all around the world.
Well, and that's it. And we were telling the story in the first hour of the show just about the American shrimping industry, how 94% of all seafood that is consumed in America is from some other country, not America. So you've got all of these industries that are so excited about what the president is doing. Are you guys getting any pushback from the legacy media types, or are they just hell-bent on trying to take down this administration?
I think there are so many efforts across the legacy media to fearmonger among the American people, and it's truly shameful when we have a great example, because look at what this president accomplished in his first term. He was able to enact tariffs, level the playing field for American industries, while simultaneously lowering gas prices, which he's already doing, lowering costs, which he's doing by unleashing American energy, deregulating our industries, and making things work better for Main Street and Wall Street. So the fear-mongering is just really depressing when we have a really great example of what this president was able to accomplish. And in the end, like I said, this is going to be better for Main Street, Wall Street, and most importantly, families across the country.
Anna, I'm sensing just a very different tone in this White House compared to President Trump's first term in office. And I'm just curious if you guys are sensing that this president is just laser focused on the mission at hand. And it seems as though everybody that he's brought into this administration is equally as focused on that task.
You're exactly right. And this president has truly developed a world-class team, to your point. I mean, on the trade issue, you have Peter Navarro, a trade expert, a former professor. You have Kevin Hassett at the National Economic Council. You have Jameson Greer at the USTR. I mean, these are some of the brightest minds in the world who have spent months, truly, and I'd encourage your whole team to look at Rapid Response 47 on X, and you'll see the full list of reciprocal tariffs. And we also have a massive document of all of these unfair trading practices and also non-tariff barriers that have contributed to the hollowing out of our industries over decades. This president is saying enough is enough. He's working with the best in the business to evaluate these unfair trading practices to say, how can we make sure we are leveling the playing field for our industries here at home? And it's paying results already.
This segment, by the way, folks, brought to you by Old Glory Bank, oldglorybank.com/Starnes. Be sure to check them out, oldglorybank.com/Starnes. Anna Kelly, White House Deputy Press Secretary, joining us. You know, Anna, yesterday President Trump was asked about Laura Loomer, who reportedly paid a visit to the White House. Let's listen to what the president had to say.
Laura Loomer is a very good patron. She is a very strong person, and I saw her yesterday for a little while. She makes recommendations of things and people, and sometimes I listen to those recommendations like I do with everybody. I listen to everybody and then I make a decision, but I saw her yesterday. She was at the ceremony, and she'll always have something to say, usually very constructive.
What did she recommend?
She recommended certain people for jobs.
Adding to the administration,
not
firing?
Well, she'll recommend that too. But yesterday she recommended some people for jobs.
So the legacy media, New York Times, every CNN, they're just crucifying Laura. Look, President Trump, he says she's a very good patriot and a very strong person. Well, can you tell us anything about the meetings and what that was about?
Well, you heard him say it, Todd, and I don't want to delve too much into the president's private meetings, but you heard him say he takes advice from all kinds of people. And like I said, he's built a tremendous team here at the White House on his economic team, across the entire building, of really smart people and even folks on the outside who we trust who come to him with ideas. But ultimately, at the end of the day, like you heard him say, this president is the ultimate decision maker. And you've seen the results that his national security team in his first term were able to accomplish. We started no new wars. That's certainly something that Americans did not see in the past 4 years under Joe Biden. So at the end of the day, the president is the ultimate decision maker, and he always makes really great decisions that are to the best, to the benefit of the American people and their safety.
And I know Laura had been asking on social media about getting a White House press pass. Is that in the works? Are we going to see Laura Loomer asking questions at the press briefings?
Well, we're evaluating. We get free, passes and requests for our new media seat all the time. And our focus is truly transparency, Todd. You're exactly right. That's why this press secretary started the new media seat, inviting new media voices into the fold, media voices who have long been denied access. I mean, the Biden White House rejected 400 press passes. And it's truly ironic how the mainstream media is now hitting us when, you know, it's truly the Biden administration who has been the enemy of free speech and access to the press and to the public. And so this president is incredibly focused on being transparent, and his press office reflects that.
Well, no, you're absolutely right about that. And the White House Correspondents Association, such, you know, they sneer. It's just the whole attitude of holier than thou when they were the ones for years, for decades, they have been leaving people out. And thank goodness that you guys and Caroline Leavitt are opening things up and making it all transparent. And I think that's only going to make things, you know, that much better as far as the information getting out there. Anna, I know you're super busy and we really appreciate you taking time. Keep up the great work. And again, it's really remarkable what this president has already done. Just what, 70 days, not even 70 days on the job.
Thank you so much, Todd. I'm certainly feeling liberated, and I hope all of you are as well.
Indeed. It's Liberation Week, not day. Liberation Week. All right.
That's right.
Anna Kelly, the White House Deputy Press Secretary, great patriots up there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Let me say this about Laura Loomer for just a moment. I know a lot of people have problems with her. I like her. And you know why? Because she is as transparent as the day is long. And everything that she has investigated has turned out to be the God's honest truth. And she has no agenda other than to make sure that President Trump is able to accomplish his agenda without some of these fake MAGA people trying to grift and get jobs in the White House. So we don't know what went down, but I will say this, and Laura is right about something. She never promoted this. She never said, oh, look at me, I'm going to the White House. It was a super secret meeting, but somebody leaked that information to the legacy media. I'm telling you, there are still a lot of snakes at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. We got to figure out who these people are, and Laura Loomer's the person to do it. You know how Elon Musk and Doge, we need a Laura Loomer HR version of that. She'll be able to go in and clean that place up lickety-split. All right, let's work in some phone calls here. Let's go to Angie in Minnesota, wants to weigh in on that police chief. Hi, Angie, what you got for us?
Well, hi, Todd. Thank you so much for allowing me to call in and give some feedback to your oversight this morning. First of all, just kind of transparency here. I am a Minnesota transplant. I've been here for less than 10 years, but I can tell you as an outsider coming in and living in the state, predominantly in the Minneapolis area, I'm just really outraged and disgraced by when the police chief had mentioned about, you know, leadership and the girl that was a victim who did the damage to the woman's automobile.
Yes.
It's been this mentality here since I've lived in this state about everybody's the victim that are committing the crime here. And it starts the leadership. The chief is correct in saying it starts at the top of the leadership. But at the end of the day, to say that, you know, individuals should just kind of see past this, that's the problem here. There's zero accountability for anybody's action. And this goes across the United States. That Minneapolis appears to be a pilot program. You know, I can speak to the BLM riots. I was traveling and auditing at the time. And I'll tell you what, the shakedown and the destruction that it did to the city and the people and the communities in Minnesota was just a complete disgrace. And then you have public media, and I don't even call it social media anymore. I call it demonic media. And you have Congress and senators that are praising and glorifying this destruction. And then the governor here of Minnesota, who's been violently promoting this destruction from BLM to COVID, locking people down, arresting people if they don't wear a mask or if they're out on their porch. And then the recent event with him taking on Republicans and wanting to fight them. I mean, how do we not expect our kids or the parents of these kids who have no reality of what realization of life is? They don't know what real life is anymore. They live in these reality TV shows, and they think this is just completely acceptable. And my heart just bleeds out to the parents and the sibling of the twin in Texas that lost his life. I mean, just ungodly. I mean, you know, I could say so much about the state and the leadership, but I take it all the way to the top, and I wish there was some regulation or legislation out there for Pam, you know, as Attorney General, where she could come down and say, you know what, effective immediately, the CDC is responsible for public health and safety of this country. And if you look at their website, they talk about, you know, violence and everything like that. They've obviously done a terrible job. I'm not talking about the current administration. This goes back, okay? But they've done nothing for this country. The FDA has done nothing for this country but to tank everybody.
Well, that's it, Angie, and a lot of subjects we cover there, and I will say this about the situation in Texas, that we need to, this is also a great illustration of the lack of respect for life in this country. We have raised generations of children to embrace the death culture, and that the first option this kid had was not to sort of reason out the problem and work out the issue, but was to literally take out a weapon and plunge it into the heart of this other teenager. That's a scary thing. And we have these conversations a lot in Memphis, where we base our national show. This is my hometown. And the reality is, you don't want to get robbed. We have a lot of violence here, a lot of crime, and it's committed by kids. And you ask somebody, would you rather be robbed by a kid or an adult? You're going to say an adult every time, because the adult may possibly still have some sort of respect for life. Those kids, they won't think twice about putting a bullet between your eyes. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Angie, I've got to run. I am super late for a break, but thank you for calling. Folks, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, let's go to Boston. Connor is on the line, wants to weigh in on tariffs. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
Todd, always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. And yes, I do. When it comes to the tariffs right now, you know, America has needed this for a very long time. America has basically needed a little TLC, actually a lot of TLC, when it comes to our farmers, when it comes to production, when it comes to so many various factors that this president is doing. And we finally have somebody in there who understands that, and to your point, is laser focused on accomplishing and delivering for the American people. So I said this, I actually said this before, and I'll say it again. It's some short-term pain for some long-term gain. We need to get this country back in order before we are literally like defaulting and dissolving as a country, which would have happened if Kamala Harris was president.
You know, it's interesting, when you go back in time, back in the 1990s, you had people like Nancy Pelosi supporting reciprocal tariffs. Bernie Sanders, same thing. Barack Obama. So the Democrats are hypocrites now when they turn around and say, well, we can't do that. It'll destroy the country. Well, they weren't thinking that 30 years ago.
I mean, Todd, isn't a Democrat and hypocrite, isn't that a synonym?
Well played. Are you still driving around Harvard Square, Connor?
Todd, you know what I do? I don't know if you'd be proud of this, but now whenever I have some free time, I drive around there and I wear my my reflective vest and my Make America Great Again hat. So I'm like the garbage man. We took out the garbage in January. They don't like it, and they don't like my Tesla now either. I got some thumbs down, some one finger salute, so I'm all right with that.
You see, you were
MAGA-mobile now.
You were one of the, you call it MAGA-mobile. I mean, you were one of the first conservatives out there to get a Tesla.
No, I like it because it has tech, and I worked for them, obviously. But I love the car. I love what it does, and yeah, I'm happy that a lot more conservatives are going to get on board. A lot of fun, a lot of power.
All right, Connor, give us a holler back. Always good hearing from you. And our good friend Connor, back when he was a younger guy, he would drive around Harvard Square blasting our show through his car radio, triggering all sorts of leftists. You got to love that. All right, folks, it's been a great week. Good to be back in the saddle. I'll be back Monday. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot to do. Hey, don't forget tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Be sure to watch. You can watch online, by the way, newsmax.com. All right, folks, get out there. Have a great and safe Friday. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, America.